Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash, except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was about to betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Well, I wonder if you think about why is it important to be clean? Why is it important that we are clean? Well, I think it probably depends on the circumstance that you find yourself in, doesn't it? We all know that hygiene is important. Good manners, you don't want to go to the dinner table with mucky hands after doing gardening or something. But actually, certain places are off limits if we are clearly dirty or unclean, aren't we? Imagine turning up to be best man or bridesmaid at a wedding and you're wearing filthy, disgusting Wellington boots, covered in mud and muck and all sorts of stuff. It wouldn't be good. They would make you wait outside or at least go and clean yourselves off and get some new footwear. But actually, it was 5 years ago that we were all told that we had to be very good at getting clean. We had to do that here at St. Peter's. We had to sanitize our hands, make sure your washing and bathrooms all across the country were covered with those infographics of how to wash your hands properly. You still see them from time to time. Cleanliness is important, and we see that in the Bible. Cleanliness appears many times in the scriptures. We saw that in our Old Testament reading from Exodus chapter 30, didn't we? Talking about the rules for the priests, those who were to go into the tabernacle, this portable worship place before the temple was built, and how they had to be clean to offer sacrifices. They couldn't just saunter in however they wanted and just do whatever they wanted. They had to be clean. And two things happened in that chapter. Firstly, they are to be cleansed with water. And secondly, they are to be anointed with oil. But the priest had to be cleansed, and oil means to set something apart for a special use. That had to happen before they could offer these burnt sacrifices to God on behalf of the people. But it's not just because God's a stickler for outer detail. Actually, what was happening there is it was pointing at a deeper spiritual truth, that God's not so much bothered with stuff on the outside, but with what's going on the inside, the inner reality, inner cleanliness. That's what we heard in Psalm 51, verse 17. David's thinking about this after he's confessing his terrible sin to God. He says this, "The sacrifice acceptable to God is what? A broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise." He's talking about someone who recognizes their uncleanliness on the inside, recognizes their guilt, recognizes their sin. God's not going to despise someone like that who is humble and comes to him seeking forgiveness and mercy. Fast forward 1,000 years, and we see Jesus meeting in the upper room with his friends, the disciples. What is Jesus doing there? Well, verse 1 summarizes it beautifully. It says he loved them to the end. Everything Jesus is doing here up until the whole end of John's gospel, he is doing this. He loved them to the end. He's not going to give up on his disciples. He loves them all the way to the cross, all the way to the empty tomb, all the way to ascending into heaven, and all the way to the day when he comes back again. But he's demonstrating this with this acted out parable. He gets down and he washes his disciples' feet. Now, bear in mind, the disciples would have been walking around probably in open-toed sandals, stepping in all kinds of stuff. They would have been smelly and horrible. This was a servant's job, to wash people's feet. It wasn't the job of the teacher, of the Lord, of the rabbi. But Jesus is showing, he's acting out this parable, not just as an example, there is that, this example of servanthood, but of an acted out parable of what he will go on to achieve the following day. You see, just like he was there on that Maundy Thursday, he will be derobed, he will have his clothes torn from him. He will not pour out water, but he will pour out his own blood at the cross to cleanse us, cleaning us not with water but with his blood. Now, if you ask Claire, she will admit one thing. I am the expert in our house at getting stains out. I pride myself on this. If the boys come up to me and say, "Oh, Dad, I've got this stain in my thing," it's like, I'm going to take it, bit of Vanish oxyaction, both sides, bit of hot water, detergent, get it in there, get it in the wash ASAP. And I'd say 99 times out of 100, I'm pretty good. There was one point recently where I couldn't get the stain out, but I don't want to talk about that. But there's one thing I can't get the stain out of any of us, out of myself, and that's the stain that sin causes. Sin is like a black mark on our heart, making us unclean when we choose to put other things in the place that is set for God alone. But here's the good news, that Jesus is showing his disciples that he can wash us clean. He can wash us clean. That's the whole point of Easter, that Jesus came to make us clean forever. Clean, not so that we go to the wedding of friends, but we go to the wedding feast of the Lamb. We go to be in heaven and in the new creations when we will receive new bodies that don't break, where there's no sadness or pain. He has cleansed us so that we can go there. And that's what it means for Jesus to wash his disciples' feet. You might have seen it already. The royal family have got like a social media page, and they released a little plotted summary from the king's Easter message. And it was okay, but I thought there was something a bit wrong with it. And I don't want to speak out against the king, but I think he should have taken a bit more theological advice. I think he should have come to this service to think a little bit more about what this means. Because he said this in this message. He said that the abiding message of Easter is that God sent his son, yes, to show us how to love one another. Now, there's an element of truth to that. That is true, that God shows us how to love one another. But that's not the main message of Easter. That's missing out. That's like getting an Easter egg and being more excited with the box than the chocolate inside. The chocolate was what it's all about, not just the pretty, colourful box. Because Jesus said that he came to give his life, not as just an example, but as a ransom. What does a ransom do? A ransom is paid to someone who's kidnapped someone so that they can go free. Jesus came to pay something with his life. And this is what the gospel means. This this good news that Jesus came to bring. The gospel is not just try and be like Jesus. The gospel is not just try and do better, because we will all fail at that. The gospel is that Jesus died to cleanse us. He did it. He was the perfect one in our place. The gospel is not just do better, not just be like Jesus. The good news is be clean, be cleansed. That's the good news. As the hymn puts it, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. That's the good news. But we must let Christ cleanse us. Do you see Peter? He didn't want to do this. He was sort of horrified by this idea of what Jesus was going to do. But we must let Christ cleanse us. We must admit our frailty and our guilt and our sin. Now, that's going to be hard for a lot of us, particularly if we think we've got life sorted, things seem fine. To admit our frailty when we think we're okay, that's going to take a lot of humility. But look at what Christ was willing to do that. We will recount tomorrow just these horrible ways that Christ suffered in order to cleanse us. But once Christ has washed us, well, there's nothing that he can't ask of us, is there? Who else has done that for us? This isn't to be an onerous task, though. Did you hear what Jan said at the end? It said, if you do this, you are blessed. You are happy if you do this, if you live in this way. As the 3rd century African bishop Augustine put it, that to serve Christ is perfect freedom. I found this wonderful example of how this has worked out in one man's life. A man called George Ogutta, who was born in Kenya into a family struggling with poverty and brokenness, and his home was marked by alcohol, prostitution, and violence. As a child, he was rejected by his father, and he was considered the least likely to succeed. George grew up feeling unloved and totally hopeless. But everything changed when a Christian pastor intervened during a family conflict and began visiting him regularly. His prayers and encouragement actually led to a church beginning in his home, planting in his home. And in 1997, George gave his life to Jesus and began to understand the love of God, a love that filled the gap left by his earthly father's rejection. His first act of service was in cleaning the church compound. It was a simple, humble work, but he embraced it with joy. Just like Jesus' washing of his disciples' feet, George believed that no task done for God was too lowly. He served his pastor as a messenger, carrying his bag without expecting payment. To him, it was all done for the Lord. And from there, he became a Sunday school teacher, then a sermon translator, which required spiritual sensitivity and responsibility. And while translating, he studied theology and earned a certificate in biblical studies. And eventually, he was appointed the associate pastor, faithfully serving until 2002. And George's journey shows how God lifts those who serve humbly. Today, George leads ministries that care for the elderly, orphans, prisoners, pastors' families, and young people. He still lives simply, relying on God for provision and serving with the same heart that he had when he was sweeping the church floor. His story is a reminder to all Christians that following Jesus often begins with small, unseen acts of love. Just like Christ knelt to wash feet, we are also called to serve in humility, trusting God to use our service for something greater. So how should we make the most of this Maundy Thursday? Well, like Jesus, let's start at the feet. Find joy in those unnoticed, unglamorous tasks that no one wants to do. That's often where Jesus began his greatest work, isn't it? But here's the deeper question. Before we do that, how would you answer this question? Has Jesus cleansed you? Has he washed you clean of your sin? Has he washed your feet? Before Jesus sent his disciples out into the world to serve others, he first stooped to cleanse them, but they had to agree to being cleansed by him. In that same way, before we can serve others with the love of Christ, we must first be cleansed by his grace. Like Peter, we must let him wash us, even if it humbles us, because only then can we be clean and can we walk free. Amen.